Welcome to the Well Read Podcast, a bi-weekly discussion about books and reading. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Ann.
And we are librarians with the Beaufort County Library in South Carolina. This week, we're going to be talking about the new releases we're looking forward to reading this fall. And since no introduction is really needed, we're just going to get right to it. Sort of a lightning round situation where we just reel off the titles and descriptions. And I'm warning you right now, I had regular coffee this morning. I usually have decaf. So between that and the format, we could possibly be in a speed talking situation today.
Okay.
All right, Anne, let's start.
Okay, so my first book is the only one of this batch I've actually read already, called Did You Ever Have a Family by Bill Clegg, and this comes out on September 1st, so just in a couple of weeks. This author, Bill Clegg, is famous for writing memoirs from his fall from grace as a literary agent. He became addicted to drugs and wrote a couple of books about that, but this is his first fiction book, so it's already getting a lot of press just because there are high hopes for him, and he's been really successful in other genres. The plot centers around a woman named June, and on the eve of her daughter's wedding, June's house burns down. And so this kills her daughter, her daughter's fiance, June's ex-husband, and June's current boyfriend.
Oh, no.
So she loses everything in this one night. So then each chapter in the book takes a different perspective from the people that are touched on by this tragedy. And that includes people that are indirectly touched. So there are chapters from June, there are chapters from the daughter's fiance's parents, from people like the wedding caterer, and people that she meets along the way of this journey that she goes on after the house burns down. So it's not... It's an interesting book because it could be, it's definitely literary, and it could just be a look on how to deal with grief, but it's also, there's a little bit of a question of what happened on this night where this house burned down. And so those two things sort of help temper each other. So instead of it just being a whodunit kind of situation, then it's a lot deeper than those books typically can be. But then you aren't quite as overwhelmed with all the horrifying realities of losing everything that you love all in one fell swoop because there's that question. So it really plays off each other nicely. I really enjoyed it so far. I think that I expect it's going to be a big book this fall.
That sounds good. It's on my list.
Yay.
My first one is Fates and Furies by Lauren Groff. It is out September 15th. I'm just going to read the description that the publisher has provided because I think it probably captures it really well. It says, every story has two sides. Every relationship has two perspectives. And sometimes it turns out the key to a great marriage is not its truths, but its secrets. At the core of this rich, expansive, layered novel, Lauren Groff presents the story of one such marriage over the course of 24 years. And I've seen a lot of mentions that there's a similarity to Gone Girl, which, you know, I loved, but a more literary version of Gone Girl. So I'm in.
That sounds
that
great.
One.
And she's written
A couple of other books, yeah. But I don't think I've ever read her before. But this is rumored to be sort of her breakout novel.
Oh, cool. That's exciting. So my next book is The Witches, Salem, 1692 by Stacy Schiff. And this comes out October 27th, so it's just in time for Halloween reading, which is great. Stacy Schiff wrote the Cleopatra biography that came out a few years ago that was really popular. But now she's touching the Salem witch trials, which, full disclosure, is my favorite topic in American history. I love Salem witch trials because it combines history with spooky things. And so that's perfect for me. And I think I own every book that's been written on this topic. So I'm sure I'll buy this one as well. And in the books that I own, I was thinking of sort of the perspective they take, and they usually try to come up with some reason why this event happened and why these girls had these fits. But this book seems to take a little bit more of a general look at it and maybe considers all of those different possibilities. And in the description from the publisher, they pointed out that other than the suffrage movement, the Salem witch trials is the only episode in American history where women play the central role. And I thought that was a really interesting take on it. And they also say that the trials had a huge effect on the future of the country. So I'm excited to see what she has to say about that. I can't wait for this book.
My next one is After You by JoJo Moyes, out September 29th. This is the sequel to Me Before You, which we talked about in our
Tearjerkers.
Books That Make Us Cry episode. And I'm about to give some spoilers for that book. So
oh, no.
If you haven't read it, skip ahead about 30 seconds to a minute. This one picks up 2 years after Will's death. And you catch up with his family and Louisa and her family and how the death has affected all of them and the impact of that loss and his legacy of his life. It's Louisa trying to lead the life that she basically promised Will that she was going to lead, but she's still dealing with grief and the absence of him and just trying to figure out what her life, what direction her life is going to take from now on. I have had the chance to read this. It was very, very satisfying. I have such a fondness for Lou and really felt for her struggles. And if you loved me before you, it's definitely a must read.
I'm so excited for this. It's going to be amazing.
And I just realized we haven't been repeating the book titles. It's After You by JoJo Moyes.
Oh, shoot.
That's okay. It's okay.
My next book is nonfiction. It's Why Not Me by Mindy Kaling. And I think we mentioned Mindy Kaling last week for our Books That Make Us Laugh episode.
I think we did.
This comes out on September 15th, and I'm a huge Mindy Kaling fan. I've loved everything she's done, basically. I really love that she's unabashedly girly while still really making fun of the tropes of being girly, and I really identify with that. So her last book was called Is Everyone Hanging Out Without Me? And that came from a place when she was kind of a mild celebrity. She was a little bit more famous for being on The Office and writing The Office versus being an actress in her own right. And now she has her own show. She's much, much more well-known than she was 5 years ago, I think, mm-hmm. when that book came out. This is kind of a coming of age story for a second chapter in her life when she's coming to terms with being a celebrity like that. And especially she's a celebrity in Hollywood where she looks different than most other people that are famous mm-hmm. and have their own shows. So it promises to have funny essays, commentary on celebrity, and insight into her personal life. And I think it'll be amazing. I have high hopes for that.
Yeah, that's what I'm really looking forward to. Also, when I saw you were talking about it, I was happy because I wanted it to be covered no matter what. My next one is Sounds Like Me, My Life So Far in Song by Sarah Bareilles. It's out October 6th. And it is a nonfiction book of essays. And Sarah Bareilles, if you're not familiar with her, is a singer-songwriter. She's famous for a couple of pop songs that have come out in the last few years. Love Song being the first one. Brave came out last year, the year before. And I saw her in concert last year. And she is a wonderful storyteller, both in her songs and as she's doing the stage banter of talking mm-hmm. about stories behind the songs. And that's basically what this book is about. It's a series of essays about those stories about her life and the balance for her between writing commercial pop hits mm-hmm. and having artistic integrity and a fulfilling artistic life. And it's described as raw and honest. And I'm always a sucker for the celebrity memoir. And this, I feel like, has a little bit of depth to it and a person that I admire what she's done with her career. So I'm interested to read that one. And that Sounds Like Me, My Life So Far in Song by Sarah Bareilles.
Okay. My next book is The Gates of Evangeline by Hester Young. It comes out September 1st, and this is a debut novel. And I picked it because it takes place in the South, which is fun to read about when you live in the South. So the book is about a New York City journalist named Charlie who recently lost a child. I'm not sure if it's a son or daughter. And she starts having dreams about children, and she realizes that these aren't because of her grief, but she's actually having these kind of premonitions and that they're giving her clues to a case about a missing child that took place 30 years ago in Louisiana. She travels down to Louisiana to the estate of the family whose child disappeared, and the estate is named Evangeline, so that's what the title's referring to. And when she's on this trip and meeting these people, she goes through all these new experiences and kind of learns that she has new possibilities in her life that she didn't think she had. But she also uncovers these secrets that implicate people that she trusts, so it has this mysterious suspense feel to it. The marketing says that it's a Southern Gothic with literary and romantic twists, which is not something you often see combined. As I was reading about it, I kept thinking, wait, so it's a romance novel, but the cover isn't romance novel, so I don't know what to do with this. But it sounds fun, and so I think it'll be a really interesting book. I read one review that said it's a read-alike for Gillian Flynn and Kate Atkinson.
Oh, and I like both of them.
Yeah, but I can't figure out how it fits in with that. Yeah. So I'm very curious about this one. This is my most question mark book of this batch.
Maybe a unique structure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Part of it?
We'll find out on September 1st.
We will.
So that's The Gates of Evangeline by Hester Young.
Next for me is All I Want by Jill Shalvis, and it's out October 6th. Everybody knows by now, if you've been listening to the podcast, that I like romance novels. This is a romance novel. It is part of the Animal Magnetism series, which takes place in a small town in Idaho called Sunshine. They all revolve around a vet practice there. This is number 6 in the series. And it's about a woman named Zoe Stone, who is a pilot for hire. And her quiet life is thrown for a loop when her brother's best friend, Parker, comes to town and rents a room in her house. He's a U.S. Fish and Wildlife special agent, and so he hires her to fly him around and collect, so he can collect evidence of a possible smuggler. The series is sweet and funny and just a little bit steamy, and she's just a really fun writer. It always makes me smile when I read her books, and I'm looking forward to a light read from her on October 6th. That's All I Want by Jill Shalvis.
Cool. Next up is Jade Dragon Mountain by Elsa Hart. This also comes out on September 1st, and it's set in 1708 in China, which I think is cool because when I read historical fiction from that period, it almost always is European or American, generally European, and you don't really see a lot of things that are set in Asia or any other place in the world, so I thought that seemed like a neat departure from what I expected. The main character is named Li Du, and he's an imperial librarian. So I have to read a book because I'm a librarian. But he's been exiled to a town near the Tibetan border. When he gets there, he expects it to be the sleepy sort of border town, but it's actually full of people that are there to see this eclipse that's expected to happen, which the emperor of China has claimed he has caused through his own power. So he's invited all these foreigners there to have this huge spectacle of power. And during, I don't know when it happens in the course of the story because I haven't read this yet, but at some point, one of the people that's come to see this eclipse is a Jesuit priest who is then murdered, and the blame is placed on Tibetan bandits, but Li Du expects otherwise and starts an investigation. So he finds out that the whole town is full of secrets, as usually is the case in mysteries, which I always enjoy. I've heard this described as kind of a Asian and different time period, but sort of the equivalent of a Brother Cadfael book, which I thought sounded kind of fun. And the reviews that I've read say that the historical setting and the characters are really what makes this shine. The mystery is fun, but those are the things that are really, really fascinating about the book. And I know on the librarian forums that I belong to, then this is getting so much attention. So I'm hoping that will push it forward to a lot of people. So that's Jade Dragon Mountain by Elsa Hart.
That one sounds like it was kind of tailor-made for you.
Right, yeah.
My next one is Carry On by Rainbow Rowell. Anne's happy sigh. Out October 6th. And we talked about Fangirl.
We talked about Eleanor and Park,
excuse me, in our YA episode. Mm-hmm. And this is a spinoff from the book Fangirl, in which the main character wrote fan fiction mm-hmm. about a Harry Potter-like series. And Rowell took the idea from that book and decided to write the actual book from the series, the mm-hmm. Harry Potter-like series. So the main character is the most powerful magician in the world, and his roommate and longtime nemesis has gone missing, and he's worried about what happened to him, but he doesn't want to be because he kind of hates him. And it's his adventure to try to find him, and there are ghosts, and there's a mystery, and it's a love story, and there's melodrama, and the quote is, "It has just as much kissing and talking as you'd expect from a Rainbow Rowell story, but far, far more monsters." So that sounds incredible. I love Rainbow Rowell. And that is Carry On by her, out October 6th.
As Hallie was listing everything, my jaw kept dropping further and further because my excitement was getting higher and higher. So I'm so excited for that. So my next book is The Secret Chord by Geraldine Brooks. That comes out October 6th. Geraldine Brooks is famous for her books. She's written several books. She wrote March, Year of Wonders, People of the Book. I think she has a couple of others, or at least some other.
Caleb's Crossing.
Yes, yeah. And she's won the Pulitzer Prize in the past. And she's really famous for taking sort of big historical events and then writing novels that personalize them by taking sort of a smaller story within the bigger story. So this one in particular, she is telling the story of David from the Bible, and she sets it in its historical context. So I think the review said like Iron Age Israel, which how many books are set in Iron Age Israel?
I don't know. That I know of.
Some research we have to do. So the story traces David's life from shepherd to soldier to king to despot, and it fleshes out his story and the story of other biblical characters. And I think, I don't know if it retains the religious side of it. I don't know if it will include a deity in the story. I didn't get that impression from the reviews that I read, but I have no idea. And it sounds like it makes the story become both more epic and more personal, which I think is sort of Geraldine Brooks's forte. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about it just because it's Geraldine Brooks. I don't think I could read the same synopsis from another author and probably wouldn't be as interested, but I have such faith in her writing mm-hmm. that I think she'll do an amazing job with that.
Yeah, so. Her writing is incredible.
Yeah.
And I just realized that the song Hallelujah with David played the secret chord.
Oh, yeah. That's what that's from. Oh, I read a review where it referred to that, and I was writing a lot of stuff last night. I wasn't paying attention, so that makes so much more sense. So that comes out October 6th. That's The Secret Chord by Geraldine Brooks.
My next one is City on Fire by Garth Risk-Helberg. It's out October 13th. And this is one that there is a lot of buzz about. And I wanted to read it before I even knew what the story was. It is a 900-page debut novel.
Holy cow.
Yes. And in fall of 2013, Scott Rudin, who is the producer of who produced The Social Network, made a great offer, in quotes, for film rights. And that was followed by a 2-day, 10-bidder auction, which Knopf won for just under $2 million.
Wow.
So that's a lot of money for a debut author.
Wow.
So right away, you have to wonder, you know, how great is this book going to be if it had that much interest? And it's described as immersive. It revolves around the blackout in New York City in 1977. It's a multi-part story that encompasses 9/11, the fiscal crisis, the punk scene, and more. One reader described it as touching in a very deep and personal way. And I saw lots of comments when I was looking at reviews that even though it's so long, it never feels that long. Mm-hmm. And it kept people interested the entire way through. So I can't wait to read this.
Yeah, I this has been getting so much librarian buzz. And it's sort of interesting when there's a book that the plot wouldn't necessarily be something I would grab, but then a bunch of librarians are talking about it.
Yes.
And I think, well, I have to get my hands on that.
Yes, so. Definitely. That's how I felt. Like
the peer pressure of librarianship.
I know. I don't know if I just from that description of what it's about would have intrigued me.
Right.
But knowing how much interest there has been in it, I'm definitely going to read this one.
Yeah.
That is City on Fire by Garth Risk-Helberg.
Okay. Next is The Muralist by B.A. Shapiro. She wrote The Art Forger and some other books, I think, but she's most famous for The Art Forger. So this is her follow-up to that. It comes out on November 3rd, and it combines historical figures with fictional characters. So I had to do a little bit of research to find out who is who, because I wasn't aware of an artist with this name, and I don't think it's about an actual person, but famous people come into the story. So the main character is named Alizé Benoit, and she's an American painter who vanishes in New York City in 1940, and her family doesn't know what happened to her, and then her famous friends don't know what happened to her. She's patronized by Eleanor Roosevelt, and then she's close friends with Jackson Pollock and Mark Rothko. So she is, so we get to touch on all these sort of household names of the art movement of the time. And then the story jumps to her great niece, Danielle, who also doesn't know. By the time Danielle comes into the story, they still don't know what's happened to her aunt. But Danielle, I can't remember how she finds this out, but she works in the art scene, and she finds some hidden paintings that are hidden behind the works of other famous abstract expressionists. So then she starts to delve into this mystery of what happened to her aunt and the story of her disappearance. So it looks at the New York City art scene in the 40s. It covers World War II and American and European culture during that period. I know we've talked about how you will read anything that's a historical fiction that deals with real people. For me, if it has an art history side to it, when I was in my 20s, I just bought like every art history historical fiction novel there was. I was so into that. But usually they're like impressionists and earlier. So I thought it was cool that they are writing that this book is about 20th century art, because that's not something you see all the time. So it sounds really intriguing to me. So I'm excited for that. And that is The Muralist by B.A. Shapiro.
Yes, I read The Art Forger not too long ago. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I didn't know that she had a new book coming out.
Yeah.
It's awesome. My next one is The Lake House by Kate Morton. It's out October 22nd. And I will say I love Kate Morton. Just Doesn't matter what it's about. Deal. I will read it. She writes narratives about family secrets and mysteries, and they're really absorbing and emotional and intriguing. This one is about three different generations of women, one in 1933, one in 2003, and one in the current day. And they're all linked together by the disappearance of a child at a Midsummer Eve party in 1933. Ooh. And she does a really good job of laying out the story. So you're getting each individual storyline, and you know at some point they're connected, but it's always unclear until she wants it to become clear how they're connected. She's a real master of that.
Yeah.
And if you want to give Kate Morton a try before this one comes out, because it's not for another couple of months, you can't go wrong with any of them, in my opinion. But my personal favorite is The Secret Keeper. Mm-hmm. And that is The Lake House by Kate Morton.
I think that's a major release for the fall. They'll get lots and lots of holds for that. Mm-hmm. So my last book is A Free State by Tom Piazza. This comes out on September 15th, and it's set in 1855. The main character is a fugitive slave named Henry Sims, who is a brilliant musician, and he is living in Philadelphia performing music on the streets to earn money. He's befriended by a leader of a blackface minstrel troupe, and he's recruited into performing with them, but black performers are not actually permitted on stage. So they create an elaborate plan to hide Henry's identity, and the troupe is hugely successful with him involved. But Henry is also being tracked down by a slave hunter who's hired by his former master. There's this quest to bring him in, and pretty high stakes of what will happen to him if he is. I'm not really sure what to think of this one. I really enjoyed The Good Lord Bird, which was the James McBride book, which it's a similar time period of that just before the Civil War, race relations and sort of the events that are happening leading up to the Civil War. But that had a sort of humorous slant to it. So I don't think this one does, but I still thought it sounded really interesting because I hadn't really known a lot about that period until The Good Lord Bird just made that really come to life for me. So I thought I hope at least it'll be fun in that same way, or really interesting to read in that same way. So it's called A Free State by Tom Piazza.
And my last one is Winter by Marissa Meyer. It's
another
out November
big deal
10th.
Book.
And this is a teen novel. Is this my only teen novel on the list?
Wow. How did we? No,
did we Carry On. Oh, Carry On by Rainbow Rowell. No, how could there only be one?
We'll remedy teen novels when we get to what we're reading.
Yes, exactly. This series is The Lunar Chronicles. It's a science fiction fantasy mashup, and it's set on a plague-ravaged future Earth. It retells the stories of four oppressed but empowered fairy tale heroines. So it takes a well-known fairy tale and gives it this sci-fi spin. Mm-hmm. The first book was based on Cinder, a cyborg version of Cinderella. And in each subsequent book, new characters were woven into that original story that was set in the first book. And they're all about this overarching story of the fight against an evil queen. So Winter is loosely based on Snow White. Mm-hmm. It's about a girl named Winter who is the queen's stepdaughter. She hates her stepmother. And with Cinder and the other heroines, she's going to try to form some sort of revolution. And this book, like Anne just said, it's another big one in the YA world. It's the final book in this series. There are a lot of expectations for how she's going to resolve the story. A lot of good expectations.
Yes.
People are very excited about it. That's Winter by Marissa Meyer, and it's not out until November 10th, so you have plenty of time to read the first three before this comes out.
They're well worth reading.
Well worth, or listening to. I've done all the audiobooks. They're really good audiobooks.
And there's also like a novella that came out.
Yeah, called Fairest, about the queen, the queen's backstory.
Yeah. Okay, that was a lightning round.
It really was. That was fun. And we're going to try to do this once a quarter so that upcoming releases for each quarter are highlighted. Yeah. We'll be right back with our What We're Reading This Week segment after this quick break. So what are you reading this week, Anne?
I just started a book called The Walls Around Us by Nova Rensuma, and this came out earlier this year. It's a YA book, and I'm not very far in it, so I don't have a lot to say about it. And also all the reviews I read when I was trying to prep for this said the less you know, the better about about what's going on in this book. So I'll tell you the very, very basics. It's told in two perspectives. The first perspective, or one of the perspectives, is a woman or young woman named Violet, and she is a ballerina who's on the verge of this amazing career. She's just graduated from high school, but she has a secret that she's keeping. And then the other perspective is from Amber, who is a girl in a juvenile detention center. So somehow they're linked together, and the link is a third girl named Oriana. The book is information of how they're linked together is sort of being teased out through the book. They're at the point I'm at right now, I have no idea how this works together, but there's enough in there to make me really, really intrigued by it. One of the reviews I read said this isn't so much a book that has a twist as something where you slowly realize what's going on and that it's crazy awesome. So I'm super excited for this. And it also said, some of the reviewers I've read have said that this is more about the trauma of being a teenage girl. It's about bullying. It's about striving for perfection and the way girls compete with each other for no reason and just how hard that is to get through that time period. The writing is really beguiling. It's really lyrical. And there's sort of the psychological suspense feel to it, but it definitely is a lot deeper than that. So I'm really enjoying it so far. And I basically want to be reading it all the time. So it's a little difficult to be at work right now. And that's The Walls Around Us by Nova Rensuma.
I read a description of it that said it's a cross between Orange is the New Black and Black Swan.
Oh, that's pretty accurate. Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah.
All right. What I'm reading this week, I actually just finished on my car ride over here. It's called Emmy and Oliver by Robin Benway. It's a teen book. I listened to the audiobook, and it is about two best friends who lived next door to each other until Oliver's father kidnapped him when he was seven, I think. And it's because his parents were divorced and they were sharing custody, and his father had a little bit of a drinking problem, and his mother was going to fight to have sole custody, and his father freaked out a little bit and took Oliver. Of course, the neighborhood is in an uproar about this missing child, and Emmy, Oliver's best friend, her parents become insanely overprotective of her, won't let her do anything that gives her any bit of independence. And now it's 10 years later, and they're 17 years old, they're seniors in high school, so it's time to be exerting a little bit of independence in Emmy's life. And Oliver has been found at age 17. So he comes back. Emmy, in her mind, has always had this feeling that he was basically like her soulmate that has been taken out of her life. They were best friends. They got along so well, and she's really missed him this whole time. And he comes back and he doesn't really remember her very well. And so she tries to form this tentative friendship with him. And everybody's saying, give him space because it's been so long and he has to readjust. His mother has gotten remarried and had twin daughters. And so she has this whole new family that he's trying to fit into. And when his father took him, he told Oliver that his mother didn't want him and that she basically had left them. And so that was what he was told the whole time. He didn't realize that he had been abducted. And so there's a lot of psychological things for him that are going on and trying to readjust to this new life that he has been missing out on for these 10 years. It's a very sweet story. It's emotional. There is a bit of a love story there, but it's also a lot about growing up. It's just a coming of age story, and it's about your identity and about family relationships and how they mold you into the person that you are. It's great for fans of Sarah Dessen, who I talked about when we did YA, who I love. And it reminded me a lot of the book Sweethearts by Sarah Zarr, which is another teen book. So just talking about all the Sarahs in teen literature today. I just finished it on my way here. I really enjoyed it. It was a great audiobook production to listen to if you do audiobooks. And it was a really well-told story of something that could have, I think she could have glossed over some of the harder aspects of it. And I think she really delved into it, but also by showing the way teenagers are teenagers and dealing with teenager problems along with the bigger problems.
Does it have alternating perspectives, or is it just
one?
No, it's
narrative? Mostly from Emmy's perspective. Okay. Mostly. It's third person, I think, now that I'm thinking about it. It's hard to remember, but I think it's third person. But it's mostly her experience trying to reconnect with Oliver and understand what he's going through. That's Emmy and Oliver by Robin Benway.
We have a big list to get through.
We do have a big list. All right. So, Anne, tell us what you talked about today.
Okay. So I I told you about Did You Ever Have a Family by Bill Clegg, The Witches, Salem 1692 by Stacey Schiff, Why Not Me by Mindy Kaling, The Gates of Evangeline by Hester Young, Jade Dragon Mountain by Elsa Hart, The Secret Chord by Geraldine Brooks, The Muralist by B.A. Shapiro, A Free State by Tom Piazza, and what I read this week is The Walls Around Us by Nova Redsuma.
And I talked about Fates and Furies by Lauren Groff, After You by Jojo Moyes, Sounds Like Me, My Life So Far in Song by Sarah Bareilles, All I Want by Jill Shalvis, Carry On by Rainbow Rowell, City on Fire by Garth Risk-Helberg, The Lake House by Kate Morton, Winter by Marissa Meyer, and what I'm reading this week was Emmy and Oliver by Robin Benway. If you'd like to get in touch with us to give us feedback or a suggestion on a topic you'd like us to discuss, you can email us at wellreadpod@gmail.com or on Twitter at wellreadpodcast. Please rate and review us on iTunes or your other podcast provider of choice. It helps people find us. And thank you to the two people so far who have given us reviews on iTunes. We appreciate that very much. If you'd like personalized reading recommendations for you and you are a Beaufort County Library cardholder, you can go to beaufortcountylibrary.org/mynextbook and take a brief survey on what type of books you like, and we will give you a list tailored specifically for you. Thank you to Adam Farver, who is engineering our podcast this week and making us sound wonderful. Our theme music is Kitten by Poddington Bear. Thank you all for listening, and happy reading.